This week on Mind Games, we talk about a little bit of format changing. Obviously, this is not being streamed. If you're listening to this, you're hearing this through a podcast app somewhere. And then we go right into our first guest of kind of this summer mini-season of Mind Games. I will be I'll be hosting Hooch and Swanner, a couple PM TOs. Met the guys at Smash and Splash, and you know, I was really just taken aback by their passion and how hard they work at the event. So yeah, we're gonna go through those things. Like I said, let's get that out of the way. We're gonna talk about these format changes. So we got the music in the background. I'm recording all of this on Discord. Like I said, not streaming, podcasting more this time. And there is no Disciple. He is taking a little break from the show until probably mid-August, and then he will return. And what I'm going to be doing is kind of replicating this, having the music, introducing the show. Once we get a little bit more, I'll have more stuff to talk about. But we should be able to kind of make this a bit of a cooler experience. But until Pooch and Swanner get in, should be 30 seconds or so. Let's listen to some Insane in the Rain music.
I'm digging it. I'm about it.
This is my vibe, dude.
Yeah, no, I... Have I ever showed you guys Insane in the Rain music?
Yeah, dude, I fucking listen to that all the time.
I love Insane.
Nah, this guy's great. I messaged him and he said that I am free to use any of his music as long as I credit him. I'm like, oh, hell yes.
Oh, nice.
Love it.
Now you get the satisfaction of royalty-free music and crediting an artist for their work.
Right? It's great.
Let's go.
Hey.
All right. I'm going to mix that. Oh. Yeah. So, how you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good today. It's a nice day out.
So you guys remember Hanukkah Jamboree from SNS?
Yeah.
So I worked an event with him this weekend, and for some stupid reason, I decided, you know what? I'll go lifting with him. Haven't lifted in like 15 months-ish.
Oof.
Definitely pushed my limits a little bit, and good God almighty, I'm still just, like, tender as all hell all over.
it's a good feeling, though.
No, it's a good feeling, and it was just like, oh, shit, I forgot how good it feels to just sweat. To sweat, yeah. And be like, yeah, I just moved heavy things for no reason.
Oh, I remember that every Friday when I host a weekly, so.
God. Did you guys have to bring any CRTs for Smash and Splash?
Yeah, all of them for baby. PM.
Oh, yep. God.
All the PM setups.
I mean, how many setups did you guys bring?
Like 40, yeah, 45, yeah. Something like that.
Good we Lord. Supplied all. We supplied all of Project M.
Yes.
Yeah. So I ended up having to help load the CRTs for Melee. It's like 95 CRTs.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, we were literally loading stuff into those trucks until 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. I was just hell on earth. Ugh. Absolutely terrible. I'm just like, all right, things I'm never doing again. That's a thing I don't want to have to do anymore.
You know,
go for it, Swanner.
I look forward to the day when we can surrender to the CRT overlords and just switch over in protest.
That's the dream, dude, is they make Mera HD for the sole reason of just saving my back.
Yeah, same.
I mean, do you guys know that like GameCube HDMI thing that Hungrybox has been using at Overlords?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I don't know why more people aren't picking that up. I feel like that seems
Daddy
like a
Nintendo.
Good idea.
Daddy Nintendo is frowning.
Oops. Really?
That's a modification of some sort. I'm sure they don't like it.
It's just an add-on. It's just a converter. It seems like it shouldn't make any difference for them.
PM
right?
is just a converter of Brawl.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it.
I guess.
You give us an inch, we'll take a mile, and they know.
You can't have stickers on your consoles. You can't do anything. You can't in any way market that these are particular consoles. You're just, all right, well, if you brought 100 consoles at the end of the day, you know how to divvy them up, I guess.
What if the only stickers you were allowed to have were the like the Blockbuster screenshot stickers that you could get when you saved Pokemon Snap and then put your cartridge in the thing? I'd be about it, dude. You know about that, right?
No, I don't.
Wait, oh, what? Dude, that was so sick. So when Blockbuster existed,
rip,
pull one out. They had like a promo thing for when Pokemon Snap came out where they had like gigantic photo printing machines and you would bring your save data. I think it might have been just like a Rumble Pack thing. It might have just been the cartridge though they saved directly onto. I think it was,
yeah. Like,
you just bring the cartridge in and it would plug into the machine and it would take any pictures you had saved and print them out as stickers.
Oh my God.
Dude, yeah, that's the 90s kid dream. As someone born in 1996 and who is absolutely not a 90s kid, that's a 90s kid dream.
See, I am late to the Nintendo train. Like, my first Nintendo, well, outside of my Game Boy Color, my first Nintendo console was literally a Wii U. Like, last year. I had always just played anything I could emulate, I'll emulate. And then everything else I play at a friend's place.
That's fair.
I was a Sony kid. I had a PS1, PS2, PS3. Now I have a PS4.
Gotta get your Jak and Daxter in. All that good stuff.
I mean, Jak and Daxter is the only game I speedrun.
Dude, it's a good game for speedruns.
It's the best game for speedruns. It is my favorite speedrun. Like, you know the run I'm talking about, right?
Bonesaw.
Yeah, the Bonesaw run.
Super free.
We're not talking about this.
Wow.
That run. So for starters, Jak and Daxter is like one of my favorite games. And that run, I woke up because that run was at like 2 a.m. in California, and I woke up like kind of groggy. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna get up. I turned that on, and I just started crying, laughing, just like, "What is happening?" I mean, I've become a regular on Bonesaw stream. I pop in, and I'm just like a homie there. It's great.
Nice.
Hell, I've had a Patty Bonesaw and Spike all on the show.
Nice.
Your chef Bonesaw. Hashtag Bone Mom.
Dude, Bone Mom is actually the best.
That is so old, dude. That's like before like speedrunning became kind of mainstream with the GDQs. That was like
before the great sellout.
The great sellout, as he puts it, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Back when it was like mad chill.
Yeah, 20 people in a basement.
Yeah, and like the couch was just like every notable speedrunner, and you're like, oh. This is sick.
I mean, back when like, it was Spike on every couch.
Spike Vegeta's a hero, dude.
Dude, Spike. Yeah. Spike is wait. Oh, that was the other bot leaving. Spike is hilarious. Now that once the bot is done, it leaves. It doesn't even bother anyone. It's great.
Plus.
Spike's great. Spike is such an incredible thing to me because it's like, dude, he's obviously just the best in terms of you can market that guy, pick him up at any esports org, and he's super marketable. And then you watch his stream, and then it's just like, fuck me in the asshole, asshole. It's just like, God damn it, Spike.
Where did it go?
You know, if you can sell out successfully and still be a degen, like, by all means, man. That's what
That's my dream. That's my dream, dude. I want someone to be like, 5 years from now, they look at me, and they've known me, and they're like, man, how did this shithead get here? You know, like, what the fuck? Just like, that's the best. That's the dream right there.
I mean,
yeah, dude.
Do either of you follow Mango's wife on Twitter?
Lauren? No.
Yeah. I don't follow her, but I definitely see her a good amount on Twitter.
Did you see the tweet? It was just like, she retweeted someone. It's like, if your husband is a grown man playing video games, you need to find a new man. And she's just like, yeah, my husband plays video games and we have a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house in Southern California. Like, what's up? Like, yeah, cool. Mango is literally the degen king. So if he can do that, anything is possible.
Yeah, man, the Mario Party community is definitely pretty loud. I love it.
Yeah, he's a Mario Kart streamer. He doesn't play Super Smash Bros. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube.
Or any other Smash.
Just a brief aside. And before we get to actual topics, the actual first interaction I had at Smash and Splash 3 last year, I walked in, and this kid walks up to me and is like, are you guys here to play Super Smash Bros. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube?
Oh,
Smash
no.
Splash 3?
Yikes.
Yikes.
Me and my friends were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. He walks away and we're just like, what? What?
Dude, that's a yikes. You gotta look him dead in the eye and just say, yikes.
Yikes.
Ooh. That was a rough one. So, I actually have important things to talk about instead of us just shooting the shit, which, you know, I'm totally down to shoot the shit for hours, but...
Hell yeah.
So I kind of introduced you guys as PMTOs, but if you want to introduce yourselves better, go ahead.
I'm going to let Pooch start.
No, go for it, Swanner.
No, I'm going to let Pooch start.
All right, I'll start. as an individual, I guess I'm like a PM figurehead, like a community leader and things like that. Semi-decent competitor, and I'm starting to like get more involved with the Icons community as that starts to like pan out. So I'm excited to see where that goes. As well, I was getting more involved with Melee. So I'm a competitor, personality, and like figurehead. I would say I am like if you were to call me and Swanner a duo, the what I like to say is like he's the man behind the curtain and I'm the Wizard of Oz, like the face. So yeah, if you hear people yelling about Project M, it's almost 100% me. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, well, I do yell if you give me like a voice amplifying device.
I think they call those microphones.
Microphones, aka. But yeah, we're quite the pair. So I'm Swanner. I am just TO man. I am a fucking TO at heart. I started as a college TO at Illinois State University, running pretty much every Smash game possible. Maybe aside from 64, that wasn't so huge. I got into the scene through the Brawl modding community. I found Project M. I found weeklies and started going to those. Fell in love with the game. Kept going to tournaments, running tournaments. Eventually got to the level of running PM Nationals somehow. I ran two out of the three summer Project M Nationals this summer, so that was pretty sick. Including the largest one ever, even bigger belt, so shouts to that. But yeah, I am just TO man. Give me anything to TO and I'll do it.
Are you TOing or coming down for a show me your moves?
I am probably going to show up, but I'm not going to be TOing because they hate Project M.
Oops. Fair.
Oops.
Yeah, I talked to them. When I bumped into them at this event last weekend in St. Louis, I was just like, hey, I don't know if you noticed, but the arms scene here is like really big and they all travel. And all of the arms players in the Midwest all travel. You should probably run arms as a side game. And one of them recognized me from Smash and Splash. He's like, yeah, can you get a player to come? Really? We're gonna do this?
Like one player?
They were like Void for Smash 4 or like anyone for Melee in the top 20. And I'm like, you can't curry favor with me. I don't have say. Yeah. Who do you think I am?
Your clout level isn't that high yet.
No, it's clearly off the charts. I'm clearly just pulling the strings with everyone.
Hey man, Gimmeron, you gotta ask anyone and everyone that you think can get you an it. That's how this all works, man.
I have learned this.
There's different tiers of clout, I think. And it just really depends on how close you are to like Nintendo, I think. I mean, like, it's sure it's like kind of different for every community, but yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think part of the reason they thought I had more clout than I realistically do is I was able to casually asked Vicky Kitty if she wanted to help commentate this charity event for a children's hospital. And she's like, oh yeah, sure. And so I'm like, oh, cool, guys, I have Vicky Kitty who can commentate remotely. Is that, you know, are you fine with that? Yeah, of course they are. And so I'm like, oh, I must just be
missing that guy.
I am Nintendo. I walk around, I have like a big Nintendo tramp stamp. I just like, yeah, no, they got me good. They got me early.
Plus,
I've never had that problem. They look at me and they go, oh, Sakurai doesn't like you. I just know. Dude,
Sakurai definitely hates us. I don't know.
I don't think he hates us. I just think he doesn't like us. There's a difference.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's like seething about Project M or the community, but there's a spot in his heart where he's like, I messed up. Should have beat him up. Should beat up those kids.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like staring at the gun on his nightstand. He's like, could have done it. Could have got them all.
Didn't do it. Yikes.
One day Sakurai just doesn't show up to work. He shows up at a PM tournament. It's time.
Oh my gosh.
Just pull. Doesn't have guns. He just runs in, fists out.
Oh my gosh.
Now we're just imagining.
Yeah,
adorable Sakurai running forward, beating up some children.
I don't see it. Sakurai is about as frail as I am, so I
don't. Swanner, I've seen what you could do.
Yeah, I mean,
you could kill if you had to.
Yeah,
I mean, hey, it's kind of a good quality to have. It's
no,
it's a self defensive quality. I mean,
The ability to kill if necessary.
Literally all the only power I actually have is to post the gun emoji in chat.
That's a strong power though. You know that, Swan.
Well, okay, here's the question. When you post a gun emoji, does it show up as a gun or a water gun? That's the real question.
What platform you're on?
It's a real gun. It's not even like an emoji. It's just a picture of a gun.
Okay. No, there's one particular platform. I actually looked this up. There's one particular platform that still has a real gun. But everybody's like trying, it's like slowly transitioning to water gun.
Yeah. Okay, so back on top. How do I feel like this is just going to happen all the time?
You know,
it's not a big issue because we end up kind of weaving in and out of topics that would have been hit on anyways. Like the limitations that PM has being PM and how Sakurai wants to beat up small children. Like, well, we kind of touched on that.
Yeah, that's the lore. That
far, literally, but yeah.
It's the lore.
But, I mean, so lore. Again, as someone who's, like, super new to the scene and, you know, has only done relatively limited research on PM, outside of the obvious, like, yeah, you can't necessarily run the game because Nintendo said no, you still are clearly growing in 2018 with Ultimate coming. Where do you think that's coming from?
We drink our milk. Gotta stay strong. No, it's been a never-ending, just absolute effort. Like, at least from my perspective and you know, my point of view. I've kind of been there for a lot of the ups and downs. I got into the game around 3.02, so like not super super early. That was 3.02 is often known as the golden age of Project M, where we were on VGBC, you know, Xanadu Tuesdays, everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was there for the C&D or the disbandment, I'll call it, because we don't know anything for certain about a C&D or anything like that. But there for the WiesTech leak with the Knuckles build and everything like that, 3.61 as it's known. There for, you know, figureheads meeting up to decide, hey, do we want to continue modifying the game as a community and pushing it, or do we want to just play with 3.6 vanilla and call that our build? Which, you know, at this point, we're starting to change our minds to be a little more open to editing stages and things like that for better competitive viability. But that whole time, you know, you see these diehard dedicated players and you see people who are stepping up to take leadership roles, and people have been stepping up in bigger ways lately this past like year and a half, where I think the game kind of has set in a little bit better. The meta's developed a little bit more, and it's easier to like sit down with Melee players at a local level or Smash 4 players and be like, hey, what characters are jank to you? Like, let me teach you how to play around that, because we know how to play around that now. Like, it's not jank, it's just there's counterplay and we can teach you. And it's just been a lot of like patience and not trying to force anything down someone's throat, but like playing other games and getting others to play our game with us kind of deal. You know, it's a yeah. cultural diffusion thing.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where a lot of the crossover stems from, like more recently, is that, you know, some Smash 4 Melee players are either willing to make the transition over or at least willing to, you know, enter a weekly or monthly or, you know, national even. It's just kind of about reaching out to the Smash community that already exists that has kind of wrote off Project M, maybe. But yeah, in terms of how the scene is doing right now, I think we're kind of at this weird crossroads where, you know, our summer seasons are really, really good, right? We have, you know, Smash and Splash, Bigger Bulk, Low Tier City. And then after that, it's kind of this, you get into this fall season and then, you know, not as many events going on and attendance starts slipping. So I think TOs are going to need to figure out at a local level how to maintain an interest in Project M and maybe think about how they can change up the formatting of their events to encourage people to enter. So the future of Project M right now is kind of dependent on what the TOs are doing right now, honestly. So,
yeah. And I mean, in terms of the local growth, Pooch, you had tweeted, I don't know, two and a half weeks ago that PM locals around you were pulling like nearly 50.
Yeah, we had a weekly where, okay, so we run a weekly called Tri-Point Smash on Fridays in the Chicago suburbs. And we have a thing where every fifth Friday of a month, which like obviously doesn't happen all the time, it becomes Tri-Point Clash. And the game with the highest entry numbers will get $100 pot bonus towards it. And PM is in this great spot where we're kind of like the Switzerland, where it's just like we're just kind of sitting and watching while Melee players make fun of Smash 4 players and vice versa. So if one starts getting more entrance than the other, we just encourage the other game to enter PM. So it's like, hey, well, if you can't win, at least they won't win. So that fifth Friday, we kind of get to like cheese the numbers a little bit, but we still pull in close to 40, like on average. Like we're getting very, very healthy numbers. The healthiest in the nation, as far as I'm aware, for a weekly event.
Yeah, we actually won the pot bonus both times so far.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there may or may not have been a little bit of bribery in there, but it's all good.
Listen, if I got to drop $20 to add four more people to my bracket, I'm going to do it. All right.
Weren't people paying for the Bigger Bulk registration?
Yep, and that was, instead of four people, it was like 40 people, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really wanted to be the largest, and that's how they did it, you know? It was as simple as that. Like, somebody, I think it's Serbian Film, bless his soul, because...
Yeah, he put 200.
Anything. He will, there's like a GoFundMe posted for like a top player, he will fund it himself. Like, I don't know if he's just like mad stacked with money or just
I think crazy. I think he has a pretty healthy paying job. Yeah.
I mean, he must have some sort of healthy paying job to be able to sustain that. But yeah, love Serb. He donated a lot of the Melee entries. Well, quote unquote, the Melee entries, because I know I was a lot of like Smash 4, like Melee 64 players that kind of all meshed together,
right?
To, hit the record number.
Good lord! I mean, you know, when that in 2018 again with Ultimate on the horizon, that's just kind of a wild thing that happened.
Yeah,
I don't see Ultimate as like a bad thing. I think that's just another opportunity for us to reach out to a new audience.
See, that's kind of what I think too. And as much as the concern of like, oh, the if Nintendo puts money into an event, will PM even be able to run? But even then, the fact that Ultimate will broaden the audience, I think, will introduce more people to competitive Smash, and then they will do their research or meet someone who plays PM and pick up PM. Like, I don't think that Ultimate is inherently bad.
So, well, we'll get back to the specific topic of how it's going to affect Project M in just a sec, but I wanted to touch on one of your points that you brought up, how, like PM not being able to be ran at, like, Nintendo-sponsored events. So it's not necessarily because, okay, so like, let me preface this by saying tournaments need money to run, right?
Right.
Obviously. So in order to get money at like a large scale, like if you're running a major like Genesis or something like that, you need sponsorships. So like companies that come in and invest money into your events and into your product. So in order for a lot of these like companies to feel safe that they're like investing into an event they, you know, want to be invested in, they look for sponsorship by the game developers. And that means Nintendo in this case. So Nintendo hasn't exactly provided much for tournaments.
Right.
Other than the brand, like the brand name association on it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why TOs are scared of bringing on Project M. It's not because they hate Project M or they think it's impossible to run.
Right.
It's just that Project M closes so many doors for them in terms of money and in terms of sponsorships. And that's just kind of how it is. And it's unfortunate because a lot of TOs that I've talked to at like a higher level have like love Project M. They play Project M. Some of them, like they used to be in the community, but it sucks. It's kind of how it is. So yeah. There. End of my mini tangent.
Yeah. I mean, what I do think is that with Ultimate, Nintendo will be putting more money in to esports. Yeah, because until now it's just been, oh, they'll tweet. That's usually it. They'll tweet. You had Mario Aces. Mario Aces at a couple tournaments. You'll have Ultimate demo at what? You had it at CEO. I'm sure it'll be at Shine.
Yeah, it will be.
Maybe presumably SmashCon.
I think so. Yeah. The way
SmashCon usually goes is because Brawl is usually a relatively small tournament, so after Brawl finishes up, it turns into a like bring your own console friendlies thing, and then we turn it into a PM side tournament.
Oh.
Yeah. And I basically ran an illegal PM bracket at Shine last year with all of our own setups. So that was fun.
I mean, isn't that what happened?
Wink, wink.
Isn't that what happened at Big House? I heard someone said this. The PMTOs had not a PMTO shirt or something like that.
That was at Shine. That was at Shine.
Oh, that was Shine.
Yeah. That was me. I had a piece of paper. Like our table for the Project M side event at Shine was literally directly in front of the front entrance. Like everyone that walked into that venue saw me sitting at a table with that sign that says definitely not the Project MTO desk. I was right there. They definitely didn't see a Project MTO desk.
I mean, clearly it's definitely not a Project TO or Project MTO. You're just some guy.
Yeah. I'm just some dude.
Like, just some dude wearing a shirt.
We got, I think it was like 78 players to reg at the door for the side bracket on Friday of Shine last year. That was
honestly
the most fun I've ever had as a TO. I felt like Willy Wonka, dude.
That sounds pretty goony.
Definitely pretty goony.
I don't know if you guys have ever been to a St. Louis event. But St. Louis events, like St. Louis is just all goons. You may have, I don't know, did you guys see by any chance a very drunk Indian dude who probably smelled very heavily of Fireball at Smash and Splash? Goes by Tiger Boy.
I mean, there were a lot of those kind of people.
Okay. The only really drunk guy I remember is the Canadian flag guy, and I hate him.
Oh my god,
I hated that guy.
I mean, we could talk about that, but not. So Tiger Boy is lead goon in St. Louis, and good lord, the event, everyone was drunk. It was a children's event, and a lot of people were just casually drunk.
Yikes.
No, not yikes. It was super hype.
And okay. Like, all right, okay.
They raised a lot of money for the hospital.
And oh, I thought you meant like it was a kid's tournament. Like it was at a library or something.
Yeah, dude, open bar. No ID, fuck it. No. It was
like for the kids.
It was the tournament was called For the Kids.
Ah, okay.
That said, there was a children's bracket, and watching children play Smash 4 is hilarious because one of their PR people is like 12, entered that bracket and would just SD three of his stocks and just sit there and wait. Just wait to body this kid.
That's not nice.
Someone, it was kind of hilarious.
What a bully.
Yeah, he knows. He knows he's just wiping kids. He doesn't even mind.
That's fair.
but you know, in terms of PM, I guess being a PMTO doesn't inherently like cut you out of the running for TO gigs, right?
No.
Not really.
Not at all. Especially when you like know what you're doing and like can demonstrate that you know what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's more Swanner than it is me. Like I can't he's like a logistics master and he does all the spreadsheet nerd shit. I just I'm good at like promotion and marketing, and I'm like when the day comes where it's like we're running the event and we're not like planning for the event, I just don't run out of energy. So like that's where I come in, where it's like I make shit happen and he just makes shit, he makes it so nothing dies beforehand because
behind the scenes.
And I mean I kind of do a little bit of everything too, because like, you know, day of, like if I need to, I will run around like a madman putting out fires. I just don't have as much energy as Pooch does, so
he's frail.
I need
Grandma Swanner.
I need like protein and bananas to keep me alive for most tournaments. So, if you're a broke TO or event organizer who needs some help out there, just supply me with bananas and some water, and I got you.
Yeah, it's like Donkey Kong.
That's what I was about to say. I'm like, are you telling me you're gonna like start pulling out DK in tournaments and
Mario main all day.
Play DK, dude. Play DK Swanner.
No.
He's the same character as Mario but better.
No.
Just grab up, throw forward air. You're not fooling anybody.
As far as like getting TO gigs goes, like I definitely have gotten a lot of TOing gigs through Project M, and that's just kind of how it's worked out. But I mean, I've ran top 64 bracket at, you know, low tier city last year for Melee. I did stream queuing stuff for Shine Melee last year, like for like 5 hours, something like that. I'm pretty flexible. I will, as I said earlier, I will TO anything. I've like, my like alternate background I have is in, Pokemon VGC, which is like the video game. So
yeah.
I TO a lot of stuff. So yeah. And most TOs are pretty chill about PM anyway. So they're just like, yeah, join the team, man. You're just a dude. You're not a game, you know?
Right. And I think, you know, I think both in terms of TO gigs for you guys and kind of what I'm doing, we're all in a relatively similar place where it's just like, shit, we are putting things on the line to pursue these opportunities or careers in gaming. And is given the position that PM has, does that concern you at all? Does that just kind of, is there like a little bit of concern where it's like, ah, shit, this, there's a less chance that this will pan out because of PM?
Do you want to touch on that first?
Yeah, I probably don't have as much to say, so I'll just kind of quickly bring up this point. I think it's fine. If you're like, you know, if you're a former, you know, PM, you know, TO, developer, whatever, what have you. Because most of the time people, like, if you're trying to apply for a job, whether it be in esports or, you know, outside of esports, they look at what skills you've learned and right. what experiences you've had. They don't necessarily care about the, you know, the legal status of what, you know, specific esport you were running at this specific time. You know, as long as you hop off the train at the right station, I don't think, you know, PM negatively affects you in any way. But, you know, I'm a little bit biased because I've just kind of been in this community for so long, so I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, I kind of have a similar view. The way I see it is, like you said, we're kind of putting a lot on the line to break into this career field, which is relatively underexplored and new, and like there's still a lot of opportunity to get your footing. But I mean, the game that I've had the most passion for and pretty much invested most of my life into for the past 5 years has been Project M. I'm gonna flat out say that the yield I've gotten from the investment is by all means not worthwhile from like a financial standpoint or like things like that. Like if you look at what I've put in versus what I've got out on paper, it's like, oh, look at this idiot kind of thing. But you have to look at it, you have to look at it from the standpoint of, you know, this is a family that I helped build. On a local level, on a regional level, on a national level, you know, I'm a household name in a, granted it's not a giant community, but it's nice that people know my name, they know who I am, and hopefully more often than not, it's a positive thing that they associate with me. I know I'm a controversial figure sometimes, but I've never really looked at Project M since 2015 and been like, this is going to be where I make my last stand, or this is where I'm going to make a career from, you know, like I want to branch out. I've been touching up with Melee again, you know, I've been looking more and more at Icons because while I know that game has had a lot of, again, controversy upon having early access release and Melee people are like, this isn't Melee, and PM people are like, this is what PM died for, which also isn't true. Just things like that where it's like, this is another opportunity for me to help build a community, fall in love with a community, and you know, invest myself in the same way that I've invested myself in Project M, but hopefully see a better yield, you know. And if it's not the final place that it takes me, I'll gladly keep going along on this adventure. I'm not trying to be a millionaire or, you know, even be like substantially wealthy or anything like that. I just, as long as I can comfortably live and enjoy what I do, that's all I want to do. So whatever opportunity I find in this career field is what I'm going to take, you know?
Yeah, no, that's definitely the kind of mentality that I've been picking up with it, where it's like, I will take basically any gig I can get right now.
Same.
even if it does not pay very well or doesn't pay at all, if they'll bring me out, feed me, and give me a place to sleep, I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's that starving artist grind.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, that's about
I have a friend who is actually, so he's a trumpet player in New York and is actually right now kind of like one of the up and coming kids, but he, oddly enough, is good friends with Diz Kid Boogie.
Okay. Like,
I'll bless his soul.
He plays, he plays trumpet. Yeah.
No, but they, like, for SmashCon last year, I got a message at some point from Stu, this kid in New York, who's, he's just like, how do you know Kyle, I don't know what his, I can't think of his last name off the top of my head, but Kyle, whatever his last name is. And I'm like, he's a smasher. I'm like, why? He just invited me to play a Smash event in Wisconsin. I'm like, oh shit.
Yo, let's go.
Nah, it's wild. But he was telling me kind of recently, he's like, yeah, when I moved to New York, I was living like in a room, basically in the corner of a building, and the room wasn't even like 8 feet high. It was just over 6.5 feet. It's like, shit, that's some real starving artist shit. Like, one small window event, that was his room.
Yeah, I feel like that's where I'd be right now if I wasn't sheltered by my family a little bit, so.
Yeah, no, I'm scraping along with my high-quality food service job. Mm.
Mm.
At least the food service job is, like, kind of meme-y, and all my coworkers are just ridiculous. They're hilarious, and I wouldn't keep working there if they weren't there.
Sure.
One thing that you had both mentioned a bit ago about PM was just this idea that, you know, anyone who comes in, PM players are pretty willing to, like, teach the game and get people involved. And that was something that I, like, it was thick in the air at Smash and Splash. Just this like, very heavy sense of camaraderie that I don't, you know, no offense to any other scene, but, like, it's less present in Smash, in Melee or Smash 4. Like, ARMS still beats you, but they're like they're literal teddy bears. They're the cutest human beings. Someone wins, someone loses, they both hug, they get off the stage, the entire audience just goes and group hugs. It's like, alright, this doesn't make sense. The Japanese players came, they started the USA chanting, and I'm like,
let's go. Wow.
This is hell, y'all are great. You guys are adorable. but you know, Melee has there's a sense of, like, it's safe now, but it definitely has its toxicity as a result. And Smash 4 is toxic. Like, I love Smash 4 and I love a lot of the people in it, but it's still a toxic community.
I don't think that's fair. You know, and I'm not speaking as someone in the Smash 4 community or like even realistically someone in the Melee community, because I still see myself as like somewhat of an outsider of the Melee community. Like, I come to Melee tournaments, I beat the shit out of players that are worse than me, and I make fun of them for thinking Project M is a janky game, and then I beat them in their own game. But like, I don't think it's fair to say like Smash 4 is a toxic community. I think there's a lot of like toxic behavior in the community. I think a lot of the community leaders could shape up, but I do think there's a lot of strong leadership in Smash 4, and I do think it's important to recognize that you do have the youngest like audience that you're reaching out to, and it's going to be the same way with Ultimate, where you have to anticipate this level of immaturity, and you just have to show patience with these people and like hope that the leaders can show the younger player base like how to act and how to respond and how to, you know, handle themselves. And I think the same can be said for the Melee community, like, especially net play. It's like, you talk to anybody on net play, it's like, oh, dude, what did I do to hurt your family? Like, I did not mean to shit in your cornflakes so hard. and like, even with the Project M community, and it's almost more detrimental in the fact that we're so close-knit, so when you do run into those bad eggs who can be, like, really rude or like exclusionary, it does like absolutely no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's definitely a better way to put that. Like Smash 4, I feel like has more bad eggs, like on average.
Sure.
And maybe it's just like certain regions, but some regions are just not good about like addressing that pretty firmly. Like too many times, controversy will arise, and then it'll feel like TOs or figureheads in the community are kind of waffling on actually punishing someone for doing something pretty like reprehensible.
Yeah, and I mean, you definitely see that in the Melee community too. Like, I'm really glad with what Robotic Fish has come together with. Other community leaders to come up with like the harassment group and things like that. Like, I'm glad to see positive steps in that direction to make sure that we keep our community clean from people that are, you know, using the community as a means to be abusive or be a predator or things like that. You know, when you get into the really serious stuff. And you know, I almost want to say that Melee is looked up to by Smash 4 in a lot of ways because it's the longer standing community.
Definitely.
So like when you set up this anti-harassment group and you start setting up rules and like how to report people anonymously and things like that, then you hope that the Smash 4 community is like looks at it and they go, we're gonna take this. Like, that's not something that you should be like. That's something that you want people to steal. Like, yes, steal this idea, please. It's good. Definitely. Like, we want you to make sure that everyone's safe, kind of deal. And yeah, I don't know. Just I like a lot of the leadership from all of our communities, and I definitely understand where you come from, where there's a lot of stinkers.
I mean, I think those are a lot more like local TOs, people that they're not necessarily in the spotlight, because I do definitely believe that, you know, the people that are at the top organizing, and even, you know, for the most part a level below that, they're all really, really good at what they do, and they're trying their absolute best to make sure that the community is growing in like a healthy way and addressing social issues and things like that that just do arise in our communities. So
yeah,
I think it's just some like local TOs that are kind of dropping the ball.
It's tough as a local TO. There's a very fine line you need to walk in terms of, you know, dealing with harassment. Like, first you have to look at the severity of the particular case. You have to look at all the stakeholders, like if there's provable evidence, if there's anybody that supports the claim, like, and obviously, like, if it happens on the floor and it happens at your tournament, then I feel like you should have the right to tell them, hey, you can't come back to this tournament. But I think what the problem that, you know, we talked about the sexual harassment panel that was made by Robotic Fish, the problem he was running into legally is that it might not have any sort of legal basis for banning a particular person. So right. That's kind of the weird fine line that we're kind of treading right now as Smash kind of grows more and more, is that, you know, there's a serious threat of, you know, legal action between tournament organizers and like players. So it's going to be interesting. I think this topic will get fleshed out a lot more after Ultimate comes out, and we'll just kind of have to see where it goes.
One thing I do want to also say is that you talking about how leadership at the top and then like leadership a tier below that like are the most important, it kind of reminded me of something that I try to treat all my players in my local area with the same level of like authority. I like to make it feel like everybody serves the same role as a leader. Like, you have players, like, I'll name Jank from our local community. Like, he's a big memer, but he'll go, he travels to a lot of stuff, and he'll bring a PM setup, and he'll, like, sit down with people, and he'll show them the game, and he'll, like, show them wonky shit, like, all-star random, or, like, random effects where if you hit someone, they set on fire, they go dizzy, or something like that. Like he'll do DVD. Fun. Yeah, he'll do fun shit, and he'll, like, get you to sit down and laugh and enjoy the game. And I try to encourage, like, everyone in our community, like, our local community, to be that kind of person where it's, like, we're all spokespeople at the same level. Like, I might be louder or more well-known than some people, but it doesn't matter how loud the voice is if somebody's listening to it. So when you have, you know, 30-ish dedicated players that are coming every week and they'll be like, I love this game, this is the game I live for, and you can get them to go to other things that might not have Project M, and they tell that same thing. They say, I love this game. This is the game I live for. This is the game I like to play. And you sit down with other community members from other scenes, and you know, you share that passion and things like that, or, like, you take responsibility for representing your community as a whole. It does so much as far as, like, exponential growth, because it's nice to have loud spokespeople. It's nice to have figureheads and like community leaders, like a face that you can put to a certain, like, region or whatever. But, you know, no matter how big one person is, there's so much more that can be done when you have a wealth of people to work with, and when you have a wealth of people that, you know, take on the same responsibility of keeping their community safe, keeping their community inclusive and fun, and you know, being an educator, being an informer, being a friend. Like, when you encourage that from everybody, and everyone starts to step up to this leadership role, that's where you start to see, like, healthy numbers. That's where you start to see growth. That's where you start to see friendships that develop outside of a tournament too, you know, and I think that's, like, super, super important.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's something that I saw, again, kind of recency bias with the St. Louis, but a lot of the people on the St. Louis Smash 4 PR play kind of silly characters, like Tiger Boy, their lean goon plays Toon Link, and he is someone that he's wonky, he's silly, but he will sit down with basically anyone, play with them, and teach them, like, how to play against Toon Link. And as a result, he's sort of this very informal figurehead for St. Louis. I mean, I see him all over the place, and he's someone that a lot of people really enjoy just hanging out with, because he's, even if he's a little drunk, he's still super wholesome. And I think that's super important. But I'm when I say, like, the top level, I mean, like, people running super majors and gimmers and apostles and stuff. That's like that highest level where I'm like, all right, they have a lot of sway in the community just because they've done so much and have built their own legacies.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, we were talking about how Robotic Fish is working on the harassment panel with, I mean, there's a lot of people on that panel, if memory serves, right?
It's a healthy amount of people, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited to see how that kind of plays out. I really hope that becomes a standard across communities. But you know, what do you think? There are the obvious social and kind of mental health issues that arise within our communities, things that tie to toxicity and general harassment, but are there any other issues that you think don't get addressed or touched upon enough?
I mean, do you want to talk about, like, bullying and stuff? Because I definitely think bullying exists.
Oh, I definitely, I mean, I do think bullying exists, and it's just, do you think that there are these greater social issues that need to be better, or not, I guess, do you think, what are the greater social issues that you think need to be better addressed in the community? Because I do think we are getting better about addressing sexual harassment. I think that's something that a lot more communities are working on, and I think that, you know, there's a panel that should put out a really good mandate across communities that should be adopted. I still think that there's a lot of transphobia and pretty transgressive, just,
yeah, I agree with that, absolutely.
And you know, that's I wish I better understood how to address that, because it seems so much more nuanced. I mean, obviously there's a limit where it's just like, yeah, anything should be unacceptable, but it's something that I personally don't understand the intricacies of it. But how do you think we can better address these topics? Because they've been there, and it always seems to pop up when there's an issue and then kind of go away. And it feels like maybe it's existing behind the scenes, but it feels like it only becomes something of a major topic when there's a major issue.
So I don't really know how much I can speak on this topic outside of the Project M community, but I do know that the Project M community has a lot of transgender, like both figureheads and just like players. Like, we have a good amount in our player base. And I've never personally like run into many issues with transphobia. I know there's some situations where it's been a big thing. I've actually mediated some situations involving a few people, but like it's just a matter of letting people do what they want to do, and like, as long as they're a community member, like, show them the respect that they deserve as an individual and a mutual person. Like, you it's the same thing. Like, there's people in the community that I don't like for X and Y reasons. I don't dislike anybody for like their sexual orientation or anything like that. Like, I definitely think that that's ignorant, and like, that's not something I approve of. But even the people that I dislike, I show them common respect, because that's just demanded, as because they're human beings, they deserve respect. And I think something that's important is to just literally be as inclusive as you can be as an individual. If you see anything where it's like somebody's being bullied for sexual orientation or how they present themselves, what their identity is, you know, help out, say something, you know, be a friend to the people that are being, you know, pushed against like that, because the you can't change someone else's mind, but you can make someone else feel like they're supported and feel cared for and feel included. And that again falls to like the same idea of making everybody in your community feel like they serve the same leadership role. You know, nobody likes to feel cast aside. Nobody likes to feel like they're left out. And I think the PM community is a great example of, we're all just a bunch of fucked up people who like a mod of a children's party game that has realistically no financial future or anything like that in the world of esports. But goddamn, do we fucking love Laser Dacusing as Falco and doing fucked up shit with like jump cancel, quick draws, Ike, et cetera, et cetera. We just love the fucking game. That's all it is. Like, yeah. I just want to love the game, and if you love the game too, let's hang out, let's be friends, let's talk about life, let's talk about whatever. It's just, like, be a fucking compassionate human being and understand that, like, it's okay to have differences, it's okay to have different worldviews, just...
And I think, you know, just to quickly add into that, you know, one thing that, it's hard for people to understand that, you know, you have your shit you're dealing with, but literally so does everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, don't say, oh, well, on the outside, he looks like he's doing great, because hell if you know what's happening behind the scenes.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why you have to be patient with people sometimes too. Like, if you see somebody at a weekly, you know, just being like super aggressive, super salty after losing or something like that, you just, you need to just, you know, just play it cool. As a TO, you just need to, you know, just give them patience, give them space, let them cool off, you know. I think that's probably one of the most prevalent issues at, you know, a local tournament, is just people getting mad. And, you know, I think sometimes TOs get the brunt of it, and they kind of just need to, you know, as a local TO, that's probably like one of the first things I learn. You know? It's like, how do I deal with a pissed off player? You know, as long as they're not, you know, throwing things, being, you know, physically violent or anything like that, you just need to, you know, let them cool off and have some space. I think I cooled off, the longest cool off I've ever had for a player was like 30 minutes. Because he just
had to,
yeah.
He just like put him in timeout, kind of?
I mean, he put himself there. Like, he went to a setup to go play by himself, and I'm just like, you know what? After the confrontation we just had with him, I am going to leave him over there for like 20, 30 minutes.
Cool. Yeah, let him stew.
Let him stew. And then we'll have him play his next match. Because it wasn't like severely holding up the tournament. It was just like, you know, at this point, at this stage, I don't feel like he is in the right mental state to be, you know, talking with another human and like playing another set, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of emotions that go into, you know, competing like at anything, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, control. It was a pretty hardcore R Renaissance moment when Lunchables won. Like, literally all of you, every goddamn one of you was crying.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Shout outs to Lunchables.
Dude, that's still the best picture ever taken.
Oh, dude, that picture Delta got, goddamn.
It's just literally like you could put a caption on it. It's just like crowd of people after just witnessing JFK's assassination. It's like the same amount of like just intense raw emotion.
Yeah,
it's really good.
And then he said Despacito after
that. Yeah, dude, he Despacito'd because the memes never stop.
Jeez. How do you feel, Despacito?
What a legend! What a hero! Let's go, Zach.
I love how I kind of genuinely think that was all that was going on in that head in that moment. Like later on, I'm like, "How you feeling, man? Despacito. Ooh, oh boy,
dude, you got to channel it. To be fair, literal translation, it works out for how slow that fucking grand finals played. So it makes sense. He was just like, you know what, Despacito was right. This was Despacito too.
Dear Lord.
That was definitely like the most emotional top eight. Like it was honestly the greatest top eight I've ever watched in person. Like,
yeah,
it was just so entertaining and so like, so real. Like it's really hard to get that.
I mean, thing. Smash and Slash Forehead. Just like across the board, people, the grand finals and the top eights were real good. Like yeah, Lunchables winning for you guys, Void winning for Smash 4, and Armada beating Hungrybox to take back Smash and Splash. Oh, was this his first one? Yes.
Yeah. No. It's
this is his first one.
The first one.
I think the first one was Mewtwo King. First or second was Mewtwo King. Third was Hungrybox. First one was
Mewtwo. And then it was HBox.
Oh, it was HBox. Okay.
Because like grand finals at SNS2 was like him and Swedish, I think.
Oh.
It was when he went Luigi. Or no, was it Swedish in finals? Well, I know someone played Luigi.
Yeah, it was. Okay. He went Luigi, and he took a game, because he's a legend.
It was.
Man. Can't be sleeping on Luigi. Plup made sure we know. Can't sleep on Luigi.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, Swanner, have you been at all the Smash and Splashes?
I did not attend the first Smash and Splash. I started my journey with SNS at the second one, where I helped a dying pooch from the tournament.
Ha-ha! That's the coughing up blood. And then hitting top 8 anyways.
What?
I was violently ill for that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I stole the top 8 commentary, and I was just utterly miserable.
Fucking legend.
And I have plenty of TOing stories for that. That was pretty much my first big TOing event, which wasn't super, super big, but it was a lot of responsibility thrust onto me, compared to like what I was used to, which was filling out weekly brackets and not even and like checking seating, you know.
So, Pooch, you were at Smash and Splash 1, right?
Correct.
And were you working it or just being there?
Yeah. So there was not really a schedule for commentary, so I ended up doing most of top 8 commentary, not all of top 8 commentary, because I had to take a piss, and then I never got back on with Coney, and that kind of began the legacy of Pooch and Coney commentary, which is still one of the most like controversial topics in Project M.
Well, in terms of Smash and Splash.
Yeah, but like I even like when I watched Even Bigger Balk and I like talked in the chat, people were like, "Why didn't you commentate this year with Coney?" And I was like, "All right, listen, you either hate me for doing it or you hate me for not doing it. Like, let me win, please. Just let me be done." But yeah, I've been at every single Smash and Splash, and I've had involvement with at least helping run pools. And from 2 onwards, I've been head staff for Project M.
God damn. So, I mean,
it's been a ride.
As a whole, what I guess before that, what all tournaments have you been to and worked at? Swanna, you said you'd worked Shine.
I have a lot. Well, not like not crazy amount, but so Smash and Splash series for. Project M stuff and, you know, some logistical back-end stuff. I went to Shine last year as a standard volunteer, but ended up running the recording setup queue for Melee on day 2. And I ran the PM side event thing. I went to Low Tier City last year as a standard volunteer, but I helped out a lot with Melee Bracket and, like, I got to talk on the mic, which is cool. I love talking on the mic. It's amazing. I have a great voice for it. let's see what else. Even Bigger Balk this year, I helped them out a lot. I was one of their head staff. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, that's, like, most of them. Like, I've been to a couple big houses as a volunteer, but, you know, their staff is so massively large that I, you know, it's hard for one person to really do a lot at big house. There's just so much, like, TO staff. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah. Go to big house.
As far as nationals go.
Big house is one of the only tournaments I'm feeling like, yeah, that's probably just generally out of the question. It feels like it's at a terrible, well, because I could have potentially done it this year, but I was in a shitty place and I was bad about money and everything.
Yeah,
but next year I'll be in California and I'll be like 5 weeks into my term, so
let's go to Genesis.
Yeah, I mean that's why Genesis is gonna be great, because I'll be 2 weeks in. I'll happily take a couple days off.
And I
promised Armada and Android that I'd show them the best bars in San Francisco. So
Let's go.
Yeah. Now I got a real sad message from Android a couple days ago. He asked if I was going to SmashCon, and I'm like, yeah, that's. I mean, if I can get a ride, yes, but probably not. So we don't get to hang out anymore this summer, and we have to wait until Genesis.
Yeah, that's a while away. Yes, yeah.
I'm sorry,
dude. That's definitely like the hardest part of being an involved Smasher. It's just like, I've got friends from other countries and like across our country, and it's like, I really want to hang out with them. Oh, I get to see them like maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, fuck.
I will say though, it's I think it's kind of nuts that I think Android's pretty fucking cool. Like, Andreas is the nicest guy. He's an absolute like sweet human being. And I got to call that dude my friend. It's great. What, like, hell 6 yeah. months ago, this is all out of the realm of possibility to me. I'm like, yeah,
just a fangirl's dream.
Right. I mean, shit, I interviewed him a couple weeks ago. Right after the World Cup finals, I interviewed him. And when I started, like, doing my write-up on that, I'm like, 6 months ago, I would watch him and be like, man, I would love to just, like, hear them talk about doubles. And here I am, like, shooting the shit with him.
Yeah, dude. I hugged so many people at Even Bigger Bulk and Smash and Splash combined. Like, so many people came up to me to like thank me about TOing, and it was just really emotional. People that I didn't even know like came up to me, like shook my hand. I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
I mean,
that's
to
like
be fair,
definitely the biggest.
I didn't really I barely knew you, and I still give you a hug.
Yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming, like, how much support that I've received through the project community over the years, especially, like, over the last year, because, you know, it's rough running a Project M National. It's not glamorous at all, so, you know, any sort of appreciation that I receive from, you know, spectators, players, you know, definitely appreciate it. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I.
Oh,
go ahead. Go for it.
Oh, I was gonna say. You know.
you got the double.
Okay, so I was gonna say the same thing about support, where it's like, I guess this is a slight tangent, but I'm someone who likes to post on my like public Twitter, because I do have like an alt Twitter and stuff where I keep most of my personal shit. But when I'm in like a bad place mentally, because I've dealt with mental illness for a long time, like I kind of post on my public page, and I'll say like, hey, I'm not in a good place. Like, thanks for showing me patience, or like, please help me like make sure I stay in line and like I'm not a dick, or like I don't cope poorly. And every time I've done that, I've gotten like direct messages, because I do have open DMs, from like people I've never met who are like, hey man, you probably don't know me. I'm like a pretty small like part of my local PM scene, but I just want you to know like your commentary used to always make me laugh and cheer me up, or like you helped me through like an important time, even if you didn't know it, and things like that. Where you get those like touching moments where it's just like really good reminders that this is a lot more than a community, and it's a lot more than just friendship. Like, it is like very close to family, and it's just like,
yeah,
super important bonds.
That's why I call everybody fam.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the nuances of gaming, where even if we don't know each other, if we play the game, you know, together in whatever sense of that word, we share those experiences, and so we do feel a connection to people that we've never met. Mm-hmm. That's why I always get so I'm always so amazed at gaming anything events, where not everyone is just kind of on the same wavelength. They know gamers just want to play their games. Like, there's something very, very nice about knowing that everyone there is sharing in those same kind of gaming experiences.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of mental health, though, yeah, God, I used to post dark shit on my Twitter, and I've just tried to stop, and what I do is I write all my dark shit somewhere else. I just write it in a Google Doc sometimes. But it's, you know, dealing with mental health, especially in the gaming community, there's no research done, and there are a handful of people in the country doing it, one of whom is
Kyle,
Dr. Piggy. Let's go. Yeah, Dr.
Let's
Piggy. Yeah.
She says it. Let's go.
No, I talked to her, and I was just like, shit, she's doing research at Northwestern. I wanted to be doing this research at Stanford. Cross-institutional research?
Dude, team the fuck up with Kyle. She's so sick.
I know. I know. I mean, this is a huge pipe dream, and I was just like, yeah, I want to be able to just hit the ground running when I get back to Stanford, kill classes, have a good rapport with professors, and by like November, apply for a grant to send out a couple people to DreamHack Sweden, do a talk at DreamHack on mental health, like a panel, and then record all that shit. I ain't doing that without help. There's no way in hell I'm doing that without some high quality guidance with somebody who's in the scene.
A lot of data too.
Yeah.
She's been doing it for over 3 years. Like, she's got a lot of data.
Yeah. I think the first time I saw her was like Big House 6.
Yeah, Big House 6.
As far as like,
I feel bad I didn't know her.
mental health stuff and, you know, depression, anxiety, that kind of stuff. I think a lot of gamers suffer with it, mm-hmm. and just kind of suffer silently, and that's kind of where the problem comes in, is that they just kind of bottle up their emotions in their, you know, in sort of what I guess like what they do, like from day to day, they just kind of like, you know, go to their weekly, just mash buttons, be frustrated, go home, be depressed. You know, at some point you have to reach out, you know, I think that's probably my biggest word of advice is just reach out. If you're suffering and if you see someone suffering, just listen, you know, it's pretty simple, honestly.
I mean, you know, it's generally said that like bare minimum 20% of the population suffers from depression. And what I think that gamers are inherently a little bit more, or they tend more to be quote unquote outcast.
Susceptible.
And they are more susceptible. And so when I was talking to someone recently about it, and he said, you know, I would be willing to bet that 50% of all gamers are struggling with depression or some sort of mental illness. And I honestly think 80% is not, I would say 80%. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah. I've, from personal experience, again, because I'm someone who likes to be at least a little bit public about my mental health struggles and things like that, because I do know that people are looking, and if I can like help somebody gain the confidence to talk about any issues that they have and, you know, bring it to light, then, you know, that feels very rewarding to me. Very validating. But I've had a lot of personal talks with people who will reach out to me. And the nice thing about like being in the gaming community and things like that is like, you get some level of connection, but you still get that anonymity and separation where it's like, I know a lot of people don't want to talk to their family about this kind of thing because they're like afraid of how it will affect relationships and stuff. So when you have that like distance, but you're still somebody that they trust or that they know somehow, you can do a lot of good, or like you can get people to open up. And just from conversations I've had with anybody that go longer than like 20 minutes where anything gets even remotely real, you can see that people can so very easily be struggling very, very hard in this community. And it's just like, I'm somebody who's of the opinion that if you are in a position where you are looked at as a leader or you are like more visible, like you really should put effort into developing the confidence to tell people if you have a problem, because you set the bar for others. You know, it's important to reach out to others. It's important to be a presence and be a spokesperson for mental health and take away the taboo of it.
I mean, I'm going to shamelessly plug the thing I wrote a little bit ago. You know, one of the things I wrote, I think kind of sums up why gamers are more susceptible to struggling and also why we should be able to work together to, you know, address it better. You know, gaming, especially in the internet age, attracts so many people that feel disenfranchised or otherwise out of place and gives them goals and a community of people with similar backgrounds. Gaming provides an outlet for frustration and can be a reward for personal successes. And with seemingly endless options, there's a game and community for nearly everyone. In these ways, gaming can be a respite from daily stresses and obstacles that players will be sharing. In these ways, gaming can be a respite from daily stresses and obstacles, and players will be sharing those experiences with many others who share the same struggles. If we're sharing experiences in games and using tactics to perform better, why can't we do that out of the game? Like,
right.
Weeklies are group therapy.
Honestly,
not even kidding.
No,
that's pretty true.
Yeah. It's just it's like an organized group therapy that involves video games. that's all it is.
Group therapy with like very loosely defined gambling.
Yeah, and like it's something where again you have this inherent trust, but it's like there's people that you might not be inherently like super close to, where it's like you feel like you're like it's like talking to a therapist, right? There's that level of separation where it feels like you're talking to a wall with feedback versus talking to someone who's going to judge you, et cetera, et cetera. And to kind of like tie it into what Swanner talked about earlier with like giving people time to like cool off or whatever, or like dealing with toxic behavior. I know that I have a tendency to make an ass of myself when I'm dealing with like copious amounts of stress or anxiety or depression. Like I've been in a pretty bad sink as of recent, and I've been a very like loud person in not a good way at a lot of Melee weeklies, and it had a very negative impact on one player. And so I like waited a couple days, and then I messaged him personally and apologized for my behavior and told him like what was going on with me, but like and how that like it doesn't excuse my behavior, but like here's a better look at like why I did that, and like hopefully you forgive me. And then he talked about like how he was already dealing with struggles of his own at the time, and so like he appreciated me reaching out and like apologizing and like having that human moment. And I really love that I'm part of a community, or like we're part of a community that like you can just kind of have that trust in each other. Like I just trust all my friends and stuff that I've made through PM and Melee for the most part. Like I'll tell them whatever that's going on in my life if they ask, you know, if they reach out, and it's super, super chill. It's like really healthy.
Yeah. I tend to be a little bit more bottled up personally. Mostly because I try and separate myself from my TOing. I have to kind of keep that professional face a lot of the time. And I guess the one thing that always frustrates me about TOing is that every time I'm on the floor, like at a national or even at a local sometimes, like I just carry on this like extremely anxious, stressed face. Because like I have the weight of the whole, you know, tournament on my shoulders and stuff, so I guess that's kind of one thing I still struggle with. So people will like pretty much like 9 times out of 10 will point it out to me, and I'll try and take a little bit of the burden off, but you know that's it comes with the territory being a high strung person, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's more or less all I got. So the floor is yours. If you got any closing remarks, anything you got to plug, anything you want to say, now is your time.
I'll let Pooch go first.
So we're struggling right now to get there, but we are going to somehow get to Low Tier City this weekend.
Oh yeah, baby.
And help run the tournament. The volunteer sheet is just mine and Swanner's name plastered all over the place, which is kind of sick.
A little bit.
I'm excited for people to see what Project M has to deliver again, because I know that there's going to be a lot of heavy hitters there. Hopefully, yeah. I won't underperform. And then it's also actually the first large Icons tournament in person, which is neat. Hopefully, it's just a fun event. Hopefully, big opportunities are made and things like that. If you can't make it, tune in. I don't know when this is going to go live. Probably tomorrow, right? You said.
Yeah, I'm going to pop this up tomorrow.
Yeah, so tune in. It's
Locator. Yeah.
Go for it, Swanner.
The PM and Icons will be on YouTube on the Tourney Locator channel. PM and Rivals is on YouTube. And then I think Icons is on TLOC 2 on Twitch, along with Wii U. Yeah, I don't know.
Let me double check that.
You can always check the schedule and stuff on smash.gg/LTC6. They got all the information there. So if you're in Texas, you should go even just to spectate. It's pretty dope. I think they also have a Doreg Slap City bracket they could just enter.
Yeah, Melee and Icons is the original tourney locator, by the way. TLOC 2 is Smash 64 and Smash 4. Just check.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, so TLOC 1. Regular TLOC. Anything else, Pooch?
Hey, man. Thanks for having us on, Prime. Really dug it.
Super happy to have you guys on.
Yeah, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to literally everyone in the Illinois Project M scene. I was thinking about naming it off. How much time do I have?
Just name off Saber.
just name off. Matters. Bless Saber, by the way. Saber's a fucking god. He helped me with a lot of seeding stuff for even bigger Balk, and is a fucking homie. He's sick. But yeah, Illinois Project M team, go UGS Tom, Jack B, Pseudo Mac, anybody, all the Aurora homies, especially Knave. And Illinois State University scene. Love you guys. Heart.
All right, well, I'm gonna play us out with some Undertale music.
Shouts to Matt Pat.
Ouch. Sans is. I'm sorry.
Oh fuck.
So that is the first episode of Mind Games Beast Format Summer Series Season, whatever you want to call it. We're playing music. We've got bots on Discord. Pooch and Swanner. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great night, guys.
You too, bud.